Hello, and welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. This week we're doing Lethal League and Lisa. I'm Nick Lauber.
Not only did you not say your name, but you put the emphasis on a different word in the title.
I know. I don't care. I mean, I don't care how you say it, you know? It's just like...
You should try a new one every episode.
Okay, yeah, I'll just pronounce a different word. Check it out, Comrade.
Check it out.
Anyway, who are you again?
Gary Butterfield.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. and it's the L episode.
Yeah.
It's our famous Lepisode, our annual Lepisode.
Annual episode. You know, we like to do themes here.
Yep.
Theme our episodes. This one, the real strong theme of the letter L.
Yeah, the only thing that these two games have in common. so tell me what's about Lethal League.
Yeah,
name that I have a hard time pronouncing for some reason.
I have a hard time remembering the name Lethal League.
It doesn't rolls like the
right
name,
off my head.
Yeah, it's kind of Teflon-y, and it doesn't reflect the play at all.
No. Well, like, I guess
it is a league, and it is lethal.
Right.
But it doesn't need to be that. Like, it doesn't actually describe what you're doing in the game.
Well, League is kind of like, you know, big league chew and stuff. It's all like it's kind of a baseball associated word, I guess.
Yeah, and they should have called it Lethal League Chew, and then that's the poison
sick,
gum
but...
from the makers of, you know,
all right,
candy cigarettes and gun candy bars. So
do those exist?
No,
that'd be cool though, like seeing kids chew on the
tips of guns.
End. Yeah,
that would, what would the conservative pundits have to say about that? Like, some kid pulls out a gun shaped candy bar.
Well, they would be in support of it, the liberals, though.
Yeah. Well, I just wouldn't want cops to just start killing people for eating candy. And like, more than they already do. Like, Skittles are already on the list. Let's not add anything else to the list of lethal candy bars. The kind of hard-hitting political opinions you look for. Check out Comrade. Anyway, tell me about Lethal League.
So Lethal League, it is a fighting game developed by a Dutch team called Team Reptile. Mm-hmm. It was released in August of 2014, and it's a fighting game, but with the interesting twist of you are not able to directly hit your opponent. Instead, there is a ball that is spawned into the arena, and when you hit it, it changes color to be your color, and then if the other guy gets hit by it while it's your color, then you win the round. So it's a lot of like trying to catch wildly bouncing super fast balls with one of your attacks so that you get to change it to your color and send it in whatever direction you want. And it's super entertaining.
It's like a violent racquetball.
Yeah.
Like you're trying to hurt the other person while playing racquetball. But with a bunch of different, there are like some special moves and the ball gets insanely fast.
Ridiculously fast.
Yep. And it's kind of like weird trivia. So this isn't this company that made it, Team Reptile. They also did Megabyte Punch, which was a game that I think we both liked the ideas of, but never ended up quite making it onto the show because it was, you know, just kind of like, I don't really have anything to say about this. This isn't done.
Right.
When that game was in super, super early access. And
looked at it again since, so I don't know what that's like nowadays.
Yeah, but... I'm curious too. But like one of the problems I had with Megabyte Punch was it felt like kind of too many systems stacked up
right
on top of each other, and this is just one system, but they do it better. Like it's done really well. Like it is there's kind of a surprising depth to the mechanics, mostly through just being able to control the ball, because you can not just kind of hit it back and forth, but you can also, you know, if you hit it and jump and hit it from a different angle, or if you bunt it, you can stop the momentum of the ball.
Yeah, and like you said, every character has a special move that'll kind of give the ball its own like special momentum. Like I know for sure the I was playing a lot of the ping pong paddle guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this real small lob, like, so it'll be heading in all sorts of straight directions. It'll just get this big curve on it and then go back into its super rapid speed, and that's real hard to watch out for.
Yeah, and it's the art style is really interesting too. Like that ping pong guy, like there's lots of people who would have a reason to be doing this and some who wouldn't. There's like a ping pong guy and a baseball guy and stuff, and then some goofy characters. The aesthetic though takes a lot from Jet Grind Radio.
Yeah, it's definitely a jet set for sure.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Like it like that's not an aesthetic that you see a lot, but it kind of has like an urban, like, cell, you know, big flat colors, urban landscape.
Yeah.
So hyper stylized character designs.
80s techno future.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Like it is exclusively a head-to-head multiplayer game, you know?
Yeah, there's a challenge mode that puts you up against some AI bots, but they basically have no gamut. They're either entirely retarded or incredibly difficult and impossible to beat.
Yeah.
So single player is not the way to go, and there kind of isn't really the player base to keep. Like, you can spend many minutes trying to find somebody to match up against. So yeah.
it's like play with a friend. Like,
play with a friend.
Like,
for
get
sure.
Get it in a two pack or get it with somebody else and then play it. And it reminds me in that way of like Nidhogg.
Yes.
You know, in that like it is like a real. I can imagine on the couch this just being a real like really satisfying party kind of I got next situation. You know, like that, you know, that being very fun. It's super, super well made. It's not my favorite kind of game. Like, I don't do a lot of competitive head to head stuff.
Right.
I know that's more like that's more of your bailiwick. Mm-hmm. But I do like, for what it is, like it's really fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's super fun and looks really good and everything controls in a really satisfying way. Like, I like it a lot. Like, it's really, really well done.
Yeah. It's real clean. Like, it's the fighting game mechanics to it too are super stripped down. Like, you have lob attack. There's a special attack that you get if your meter's full. And basically it's just, you know, if while you're in your attack animation, the ball is in a place to be hit, you hit the ball and send it in a direction. And if you whiff, now you're left open and you're probably going to get hit by the ball if it's coming near you at all.
Right. Right.
So it's just super clean, really simple mechanics. It's great.
So similar to Nidhogg, like rounds just go by really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have that kind of like effort, you know, no transition kind of flow of just coming back to life. Because I think, you know, it's best 2 of 3. But they, you know, things just, it is really fast and furious. Like, it is something where it is very lethal, and you have to be very careful. And I can imagine if there was a bigger kind of community for it, the learning curve being pretty brutal.
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know, like, you know, I put a couple hours into this at best, but I bet you there's already a couple people out there who just know all the ins and outs of it and will completely wreck you the second you step into playing with them.
Yeah, it seems like the kind of thing that would be. You know, like mastering this game would make you fairly insurmountable.
Yeah, it's the easy to learn, difficult to master, perfect game mechanics.
Yeah, which ends up being daunting to get into too. Like that's how you describe like, you can describe like Counter-Strike or something like that too, which is like legendarily difficult for new players to get into
right.
a lot of the time. So like that's that. It's not a fault of the game. It's just like, so anybody listening knows what they're getting into.
Right.
It. Like, if you're going to go on and do random online matchmaking, I can imagine kind of getting stomped. I think that this is probably best, like, amazing couch co-op, you know, still fun multiplayer with buddies over the internet.
Duckstream 2015. Watch us beat each other with baseballs.
And you can do 4-player simultaneous. Like, that's where it gets a lot of the Smash Brothers mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And that just becomes kind of fun chaos. Like, it becomes less tactical.
And more mayhem.
Yeah, more just nuts. So, yeah, we'll definitely Duckstream 2015 play some Lethal League.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's pretty much all there's to say about it. The music's cool. It's got, you know, a nice soundtrack to back up the art style. It matches pretty well. The characters are neat. Like Gary said, there's like a skateboarding robot who I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, that guy.
And an alligator for some reason.
Yeah, the angry little alligator. And then that the weird Jack in the Box mascot.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not quite the Jack in the Box mascot, but it seems like he more or less is some kind of grinning circle headed freak guy. And most of it, like, I mean, they each have a special move. I didn't get far enough into it to know whether they had like different stats on top of that. Like if they, like, it seemed like the alligator guy was a little bit slower, but I don't know if that was actually true.
Right.
Cause I didn't play it back to back and I wasn't totally sure, but
yeah, same. I bet you there's tiny tweaks between them. Like, people have, longer, faster attack animations, which would leave them more or less open, but might trade off like move speed for it,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like
jump
that.
Height, maybe.
Yeah, and if that isn't a thing, it seems like it should be.
You know,
like the characters should differentiate from each other. But even if it is, it's simple enough to where even if they all do play the same, like, I think it's fine.
Right.
You know, if you think of it as just kind of a very complex version of like Pong. Or something like that. Like, it is very direct. Like, the thing I like about the game is how direct it is.
Agreed. Yeah.
So yeah, good game. If you like that kind of thing, I would definitely recommend it.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Our next game was actually brought to us by a listener. So I want to mm-hmm. say a quick thanks to Trent. This is the kind of thing we would have covered anyway, you know. But he was just like, "Hey, I'd like to hear what you guys think about this. Check out this game, Lisa." And yeah, Lisa. So yeah, thank you, Trent.
Yeah, super and, awesome. And like, yeah, I actually hadn't heard of it before he like said we should check it out. And then I just looked on the Steam page. I was like, that's totally something we should check out. And he was like, hey, add me on Steam. And yep. gave it to us. So that's awesome. Thank you, Trent, so much.
Yeah, thanks, Trent. And then it's something that I started hearing about as soon as, because it's pretty new. Mm-hmm. After we received it from Trent, I started hearing about it
yeah.
more and more, because it's kind of getting a little bit of reputation. Mm-hmm. This is a game by Austin Jorgensen.
Right.
Yeah, it was kickstarted. And just in December 14th, so a month ago, is when this came out. And it is the sequel to another kind of top-down, more traditional dark RPG, but this is like his expansion.
Oh, really? What was the name of the game before? I wasn't aware of that.
Lisa the something else. Like they're both called Lisa.
Oh, like, really?
But it's like Lisa the something, and this is Lisa the painful RPG.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lisa, like you said, it's an RPG. It's called the Painful RPG. It's done like platforming. Aspect instead of like, you know, your traditional top down Final Fantasy Earthbound style RPG.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't have a ton of platforming mechanics. There are some. It does involve some platforming stuff, but mainly it's a RPG combat system, and it is takes place in a post-apocalyptic setting where women have all but ceased to exist, essentially. Whatever caused this wreckage, I think they just call it the Flash or something of that sort, this event.
Yeah.
It also managed to wipe out the majority or the vast majority of women, and so everyone's basically aware that the species is doomed because there aren't any women around.
Mm-hmm.
And then beginning of the game takes place, you play this guy that I don't remember his name.
Brad,
like Strongbeard or something like that.
Yeah, Armstrong.
Armstrong, and Brad, in the beginning, kind of goes through his abusive childhood, and he kind of gets through his shows that he's kind of a drug addict, and then he finds a baby girl just wandering around.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of the catalyst for the action is in this world full of depraved, you know, post-apocalyptic perverts. Like the unit of currency in the world is porno magazines. Like
yeah.
It is, you know, there's a grungy grossness to it. You know, and because of his drug addiction, he actually loses this girl, and kind of goes on a quest to go find her. And that's, you know, kind of what the game, the premise of it. But there's a lot of stuff going on top of it.
Yeah.
So like one of the first things to talk about, is the Earthbound influence.
Yes.
Cause it is crazy influenced by Earthbound, mm-hmm. from art style to music to a lot of tonal things, even though like Earthbound never quite gets that dark.
Right.
Even though Earthbound is surprisingly dark, but this is a lot darker.
It's Earthbound for adults.
Yeah.
Like the Earthbound, you know, has these dark themes, but in a set in a like childhood whimsy. Which it, you know, is part of what makes it great, but this just ignores all that. It is like my audience is adults, but let's go darker, and
yeah.
And just expands upon that same level of darkness.
Yeah, it is so like art style, like the character designs are all like really unique, and I mean that kind of literally. Like character designs don't really repeat.
Yeah,
which is kind of amazing. Like almost everything you fight in the game is a unique sprite,
right. Yeah.
And everything you encounter. And then the sound, the music has that kind of like discordant, you know, arrhythmic mm-hmm. quality that the best Earthbound music had. So it's aesthetically, like, I think it's like a super awesome kind of package. And then mechanically, it does a little bit of that Earthboundness where there's just kind of, it's JRPG combat, but with weirdness in it. So you have like odd status effects, like being depressed or being in withdrawal,
mm-hmm.
Or being staring, you know, feeling weird.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, characters will do things like very early on, the first companion you run into is the hint master who leaves the tutorial hints around. And in combat, he's useless. And he just throws himself at the bad guy and falls on top of him.
Yeah.
And then he can just kind of give you hints during combat mechanically.
Right. So, yeah, most of all of his abilities are just like giving the rest of your team little boosts because he's so useless otherwise.
Yeah, he's garbage. And and every kind of the game is kind of like noteworthy also for having a lot of different companions.
Mm-hmm.
There are 30 different party members.
That's ridiculous.
You can have in the game, which I didn't find, because the other thing that's really noteworthy about the game, and the kind of thing that bums me out a little bit, and it's the reason why I didn't end up completing it, even though there's so many things I like about it, is that it is balls hard.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, this is a harsh post-apocalyptic world. Like, everything needs to reinforce that. But, like, they do that in two ways. They do that through, or three ways, because they do it, like, aesthetically. But then they also do it through kind of choices. Like, this game has a lot of, like, hey, you know, do, like, say, like, the you know, you can save it. And this happens multiple times. It's not a specific spoiler.
Right.
But, like, you can, by sleeping in the wrong space, you can wake up and one of your party members will be kidnapped. And to get them back, like, you have to lose your arm. Like, things like that, which has a mechanical effect because you are a martial artist.
Right.
And that kind of stuff, that's just a choice I like. But they made the combat brutally, brutally difficult.
It's pretty damn hard.
And I don't like that in a JRPG very much. It just like got discouraging. I got to the first kind of boss of the game, this character named Charmy.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get past him. It was too difficult for me. Well, and I was just like annoyed and stopped playing.
There's a mechanical aid for helping kill Charmy though. I don't know if you're aware of that. Yeah. But even so, like I got the mechanical aid, wasn't aware that I would actually be needing this mechanical aid for this. Only grabbed two of them when I think you could grab more, and kind of barely scrapped by and actually made the fight with just the two aids. Damage aids that I needed.
Me too, but I only got one of them.
Oh geez. Yeah.
So like it just wasn't enough, and I would just kind of ran out of time and patience for that. Like there's so many cool things that it does. Like I like so much about, and it's real, we didn't really mention this, but like it's funny too.
Yeah.
It's real goofy while at the same time being like immensely heartbreaking and weird.
It balances them really well. Like it's everyone's super depressed and in this fucked up situation. But everyone's also a horny dirtbag.
Yeah.
And like there's also gross mutated like weirdos, and it blends the two really well.
There's like this drug in the game, and it's the drug your character's addicted to, and if you take too much of it, you kind of turn into this like boneless flesh monster thing. It's like really gross. Like you just like these people just kind of leaning on trees and detritus and just kind of draped over it like a, you know, like a tablecloth of skin. Like really gross. But it's in this cartoony art style. So like it's this weird, like I haven't played a game before that is like, does this balance of gross and disturbing horror and humor exactly like this. I don't want to say like this well, because I haven't completed the game. I don't know how well it does it in the end, but like this feels unique in that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I don't know what other games are like this. Did you get the companion who's the one who like tells the boring stories?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's great.
That dude's hilarious.
That guy's very funny.
Yeah, that's a really funny thing. Because the prompt when you first meet him is like, he's going to be that character that's in every RPG that tells you all the stuff that happened before the game. He's going to be that backstory. He's going to like tell you all the backstory. And so he's like, do you want me to tell you about this place? And you say yes, and then he just goes on these fucking dry-ass ridiculous stories about his previous life before the apocalypse.
He just keeps getting distracted talking about it, about his ex-wife and stuff. And then, you know, and it plays the music as if he is telling you about the apocalypse. It's like mournful music.
Yeah.
And then he tells you another story, and then you leave. Like, you're like, oh, finally, I get to leave. And then he cuts you off and finds you again and then joins your party so he can tell you more later.
It's good.
It's very funny. Like, it feels like it's got that thing where, like, almost everything you do is unique to it. It doesn't feel, like, padded. There's no real way to grind. Like, when I was having a hard time with Charmy, I was trying to grind. But because the monsters that you fight are so unique, you can't really do that. And because healing is so hard to do.
Right. Yeah, there's a couple spots where there are like random encounters. They're very specific, like you know, set locations, so you know when it's going to happen. But getting hurt is such a big detriment, because if you grind until your guys are almost dead and then go heal up, you might lose one of them just by sleeping.
Or worse than that, lose some stats.
Yeah,
like you can wake up and some guy hits you in the face with a bat, and you just are worse at everything after that.
I had that one happen to me, and I've had like mags stolen from me, and had even equipped items stolen from me.
Yes,
like it's just crazy harsh.
Yeah, it is. It is just so, and like I dig that as an intersection of play and narrative. Like but it just makes, it's just too much for me. Like I guess in a way, like you succeeded, Lisa. Like. That is too bleak for me to get through. Like, I want to know about the story stuff. And I ended up looking up a little bit online, so we'll have a brief story spoiler section, even though neither of us finished this game.
Mm-hmm.
The stuff that I read sounds fascinating. Like, it sounds super, super cool. And, like, maybe I'll watch a Let's Play or read a Let's Play of it at some point. But
yeah,
I just, like, the combat is just not strong enough. Like, it so badly needs... The enemies need to have less HP, and it needs an auto battle really bad.
Yeah, well, you know what else? Like, I think, you know, this is also trying to play in its own, but I'm not sure it actually assists anything, is actual HP meters on the enemies.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, you have no idea how long a battle's going to take when you get into it.
And they take a long time. And
like, they take forever, yeah.
Items that bring your parties back from the dead are exceedingly rare.
I've had three.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Like, they're super, super hard to find, and you know, your other guys have almost no hit points, and, like, as we mentioned, it's really hard even just to kind of heal up after a fight. Like, the first fight you get into with the kind of big gang
mm-hmm.
of five guys, the area you get after that, there's nothing to heal you after that. Like, you get this fight that's going to wipe out a lot of your party members, or at least put you in dire straits, and then you go explore this other hostile area, and there's no reprise between the two.
There isn't until you clear the area, in fact, or almost clear the area. Like, you can find a one of the doors does lead to a place that has a place to heal up, but you have to get through at least, I think, two or three other enemies if you explored in the correct order. If you didn't, you're going to fight two or three more
on top of that, right after a really major boss fight.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, it doesn't have those kind of concessions to player comfort that, like, and I know that's intentional, so I don't want to give it too much shit for that, but, like, I like being comfortable as a player too.
Right.
So it's just a little bit frustrating, like, despite being really brilliant in a lot of ways.
I do think right when you first meet a tutorial ally guy, that he gives you a choice, like a difficulty choice.
Yes. Yeah. But, I chose the easier difficulty choice. It's still really hard, though.
Wow. I'm pretty sure I chose the normal one. So
no, I chose the, well, there's two of them. There's, like, normal and brutal, and I chose normal as well. I didn't choose the brutal one.
I think I chose the harder one. I'm not sure. Okay. Whichever the default option was, which I think was the brutal one.
Yeah, that could be. I can't remember. Exactly.
I might be screwed. I just
it's just, and, like, I think you get a different ending if you do it that way. Like, there is a lot of narrative to unpack. If you're up for the challenge.
Right.
But it just, like, and I'm not saying I'll never be up for the challenge, because I am really interested in it, but it just got discouraging, man.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, I really enjoy the game. I think I'm going to, you know, chip away at it. It is longer than I thought it was going to be, so I thought I was going to be able to, like, sit down for a few hours and get through it, but...
That's my fault. There was some, the thing that we use for Watch Out for Fireballs is a website called How Long to Beat.
Right.
Which I use to kind of plan out all of my podcasting homework. And that has two people who have put in there, and they both put about 90 minutes on there, which made me think, like, oh, usually, like, I go a little bit slower for the show, so probably, like, 2 hours. I played for about 2 hours. And I'm not, as I said, I just got up to Charmy and couldn't beat him. So that's some misleading information on how long to beat.
Actually, I think on that site, the Lisa you look up is a different Lisa. It's like some RPG Maker game or something.
Dang.
Yeah.
Damn that other Lisa.
Because I looked that up.
I wonder if it's the Lisa that is this Lisa.
I wonder.
Like the pre Lisa.
Let me find out. Yeah, actually, this is the previous Lisa.
Oh.
Because it said it's made by Dingling. Okay.
Yeah. So that Lisa is a quicker Lisa.
Yeah.
This is a slower, bigger Lisa.
Okay. Yeah. So maybe after I check out this one, if I do and enjoy it as much as I think I'm going to, I'll go back and see what Dingaling's other game was.
Yeah, I guess that this one is supposed to be funnier. I think the other one is supposed to be more horrific. So I think their previous one doesn't have as much humor to it. Very like, if you're a fan of Earthbound and like a tough as nails RPG and like that kind of, like, because the story goes deep, like there are layers to it, which we're going to talk about a little bit in the story section. Like, it's hard not to recommend this game for that. It's just like a little bit of an exercise in patience.
Yeah, it's work to get what you get out of it, but it seems like it's probably going to be worth it, and I've enjoyed what I've done so far, even if it does amount to some amount of frustration.
Yeah, cool. If you want to help out the show or suggest other games, you can do so either through duckfeed.tv/checkitoutcomrade. Or duckfeed.tv/contact. You can also hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/comradepodcast.
No. Check it out, Comrade on Facebook.
Oh, whoops.
And at Comrade Podcast on Twitter.
That's why I got mixed up.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. Yeah, if anyone stopped listening as soon as, like, they just had their finger poised over their enter key on the URL and were just listening to the podcast until they got to that part and then just hit enter and turned us off, they're going to be super mad when they get that 404 error.
Yep. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sorry, buddy. Come back and come back. Yeah, so, and again, thanks to Trent.
Yeah, thank you, Trent.
Yeah. Anything else they can do?
You can check out our Patreon if you if you feel like helping us monetarily, because we do appreciate that, and it has helped us a lot. As I've stated in a couple episodes previous, it helped me upgrade my audio equipment, which is why I sound so gorgeous right now.
So, yeah, sounds significantly better. Yeah, and that's at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
But I think that's about it.
Yeah, so we have a brief musical break, and then we'll talk. I'm going to tell Nick a little bit about some of the stuff that happens in Lisa, and hopefully not spoil it for him completely.
Yeah. All right.
So, like, the thing with, like, this is that I'm pretty sure, and this isn't something I read, so this is more of a theory than actually, you know, a spoiler.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, like, this whole thing, I mean, I know this, but it is like, the whole thing is a parable for child abuse, right? Because, like, you know, you are abused as a child, and then you wake up in this post-apocalyptic thing, and then you are given the same opportunity to raise a kid.
Right.
And then the thing that I read about without reading all the specific details, because I didn't want to ruin myself, is that it is about the cycle of abuse. Like, there's no good ending for this game.
Right.
You know, you don't do it. You don't make the life better for the next person.
That's a cool... This is a really cool parable for that. That's a really neat idea.
It's super good. Like, it's really, really great. And, like, it's touching on these themes of, like, just child abuse and then, like, kind of gross masculinity.
Yeah.
You know, like, the way that everyone is just a disgusting horn dog in the future. Like, it is, like, if you read between the lines at all, like, it is a very much a, you know, a very specific story about this kid's upbringing.
Yeah.
You know? Because you get those hallucinations. Like, did you get the one where the dad comes back and dumps the baby on your...
Yeah.
On the ground?
Yep.
Yeah, like, I think that's actually your sister. I think that your sister's name is Lisa when you're a little kid.
Right.
And something maybe happened to her.
Well, that's the thing, too, is that the girl, anytime that she's actually referred to, is always Buddy. And the game's called Lisa.
Yeah. Yep, yep. So,
and that'd be interesting. Like, I think, the, you know, the previous Lisa, maybe you're playing as... you know, the sister or whatever, because that the previous Lisa, from what I'm seeing here, just what we I was looking at previously, is like you're playing as a girl who's like in an unfamiliar world and is haunted by demons. So you might be this game might be the cycle of abuse previous to that game.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really a really smart thing.
And the other kind of mechanical thing that, and this will be possibly useful for you, is that, you know, you start out the game and when you accidentally, the buddy gets kidnapped, it's because you went into this relapse in this drug, and the game changes on whether you take that drug or not during the game.
Yeah.
So, like, if you decide, like, okay, I'm actually going to quit, then you actually quit and then you get a certain ending. And if you decide to, because it's super powerful mechanically.
Yeah.
So even if you decide to give in, it changes things too.
I've been giving in, but I have noticed already that that's a huge mechanic and really, really well done, even just in the game, where you can just shrug it off, but you might be out for a battle or two where your main character, the one who's probably doing the most damage on your team, is useless.
Yep. And that's then, and with how brutal the game is regularly, like, that is a really cool expression of temptation.
Yeah,
that again is going to gate off the, you know, the optimal experience from a lot of people.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but it's cool.
So smart.
It's super smart. Like, so it is smart. It is really, really well designed, like, in just like a harrowing way that like I've gotten so used to with indie games, like, being fine with emotionally harrowing things. Like, mechanically harrowing things are harder for me.
Yeah.
Now, like, I will have my heart broken 1,000 times, but, like, just asking me to be, and part of it's just the genre, like, JRPG hard is different than Dark Souls hard.
Right.
Like, you never get good enough with reflexes to get around a random number generator.
Correct.
Like that,
yeah.
You know? But yeah, I just like, I like all the heartbreaking stuff. I don't like all the controller breaking stuff.
Right. Don't try my patience that much. It's,
yeah.
You can find an optimal amount of patience trying.
I think so too. And I think this goes a little bit over the line,
but over.
At the same time, like, if you have the patience for it, I think it's obvious that it's, like, pretty rich.
Yeah, it's gonna give you the payout for it if you put it in. But
I think I'm going to try to find like a Let's Play, preferably like a text Let's Play. That's just, you know, like an essay, tons of screenshots.
Yeah.
That would be great.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I might try and play. I might chip away at it over time. Save points are so far.
Yeah, they're so far away. Like, it's so hard to rest, and save points are so far, few and far between. And battles, like, if you save before a battle and then you do the battle, it can go wildly a different way.
Yeah.
Which is just really frustrating. Like, you could barely scrape by on the skin of your teeth, and then if you have to do it again, you're, you know, it's not like you're guaranteed or even likely to do better the next time.
Cool game, though.
Yeah, very cool.
All right, man.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody.
Good night, everybody.